It's time for Football Friday with Paul Feinbaum, presented by Bryant Bank, your hometown bank with big bank benefits, located in Mobile and Baldwin counties. Now, here's Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
And, of course, Paul Feinbaum from the Paul Feinbaum Show, weekdays on FM Talk 106.5, 2 to 6 every day. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, how's everybody doing? It seems like just yesterday that Auburn scored and beat Georgia.
I don't know if you watched till the end of that game, but Paul, things kind of...
No, I went out and started celebrating. Anything happen?
No, that was about it. That covers it.
Right. Yeah.
It's been a wild week on the Feinbaum Show with all of the officiating talk, and we've been discussing it quite a bit as well on our morning news show, so folks probably would rather us kind of lay off a little bit. But it's been a big story, and from the call that overturned the Auburn and Georgia touchdown at the exact same time. That got folks started. And then the timeout that was clapping, and he clearly... What was your take on the entire officiating controversy in that game from Saturday?
Well, I've talked to quite a few people since then. And the basic conclusion is it either had to be a touchdown for Auburn or a touchdown for Georgia. It couldn't have been anything else. And, of course, it was.
Yeah.
So it really was, of all the times Auburn has been screwed this year, which is many, this was the worst. Because stop me if you've heard this before. I know we're almost Auburn scores right there. I really believe the game is over. Instead, the air went out of Jordan here. They could never find it back. And Auburn lost again. And Hugh Freeze moved from his best victory to his most painful loss, and one step closer to unemployment.
Yeah, and 98% of Lee County thinks that Kirby Smart is the closest thing to Attila the Hun that we've seen in centuries.
I think they may be right.
Yeah,
and then you know the fallout didn't end there, and I'm sure once the whatever they decide with Freeze, there will be more fallout from that. But Damari Alston, who was a team captain and relatively good running back on the team this year, out, just not playing with the team anymore, and it seems like some of the players may have had an issue with that. I mean, are things just completely falling apart in Auburn?
They are, but before anybody goes too wild here, if Freeze can win this game against Missouri, which is very possible, the schedule sets up really well. There's a chance that they could literally run the table up until the Alabama game and salvage the season. I mean, that's how fragile this is. That's why that game was so important. You win that game, and man, you are looking great.
Hmm.
And now you're not so sure. Missouri is a toss up, but I think it's winnable. I mean, I you can play this any way you want. Hugh Freeze is going to get fired if they lose, or he may get a contract extension if they can get to the end of the year. But that's college football. And the biggest problem Freeze has with a loss against Missouri is suddenly his program looks very similar to James Franklin. But what I mean by that? That means they went out, they spent a fortune. The AD and the program gave him everything he wanted, and he didn't deliver. So that makes him very vulnerable. But it's a fine line. And he has not been able to get out of these jams before. And when he comes on after the game and says, we just find ways to lose, guess what? That does not endear you to your fan base.
No, it doesn't. And he's not the only one on the hot seat. I mean, that is a fragile situation. I don't know what you would call the Florida situation right now with the reports that the athletic director Strickland spoke with some boosters. And it sounds like Billy Napier is out regardless of what happens against Mississippi State this weekend.
Hey, so let me ask you this. So after losing four games, at that point, do you say, hey, I better get some boosters over to my house for coffee and start talking about the future? I mean, everybody knows Billy Napier is gone. So it just doesn't really matter when. It's just a matter of who the next coach is because, I mean, that guy has been a bust. And I'm really fed up with everybody trying to – well, he's really doing a pretty good job. I mean, he's got like a 43% winning percentage. I mean, James Franklin was going to national semifinals and he got fired.
Yeah, and I think it's something we have to just get used to, Paul, every fan base, because Georgia could just as easily be 3-3 right now. I mean, when you consider Auburn, Tennessee and Auburn, obviously. And, I mean, mediocrity is going to get served up to a lot of fan bases that aren't ready for it.
You know what? I want to just take a moment to praise Alabama fans, because at no time this year did anybody panic, even after the Florida State loss. So Alabama fans have supported Kalen DeBoer through and through.
Well, if he wears a black hoodie and gets beat, that's not good. I realize that's now a story. So anyway. So a lot of action last week, but we want to get to what's coming up this weekend.
Yeah, so let's talk about the third Saturday in October. And as a Tennessee fan, I've been pretty clear about it this week. I'm going into this not really expecting a Tennessee win. I know I'm not sounding like a good fan, but just Alabama's been a machine. This is in Tuscaloosa. It's a night game, and they're just rolling right now. It seems like Tennessee's offense, I mean, they could have gotten out of that Arkansas game with a good 17-point win. They let him in late. The defense has holes in Knoxville.
It does, and this is not a perfect Tennessee team, and you can argue a lot of different things. Well, they should have beat Georgia. Yeah, well, they should have lost to Mississippi State and Arkansas. Mm-hmm. They shouldn't have even been those games. So I'm with you. I feel pretty good about Alabama. I just don't see that much from – Tennessee doesn't look complete. And Alabama – should that game in Missouri should never have gone down to the final drive, but it's still I can't take anything away from Ty Simpson and what's going on. The fact that Ryan Williams is arguably the third or fourth best receiver on the team tells you how talented they are.
Yeah, for sure. And it also says something about Ryan Williams, and I'm not sure what that is right now, Paul.
I think he just taking his time. He don't want to rush himself back into the season too quickly. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him, but sometimes we come to these conclusions and we find out that this is going to sound cliche, but they are 18 or 19, or in his case, he was 17 a year ago, mm-hmm. and they don't play well every week because they have other things going on. I have no idea what those things are. That's one thing about broadcasters like us. It doesn't matter what's going on, what the outside noise is, we still do the same job every day.
Maybe do this, you know, I mean, I got hammered when I talked about running for Senate, and that was a nightmare. So,
well, I mean, when you're obligated to your listeners, you shouldn't be dabbling in other things. Come on, guys.
That's right. I'm 100% focused on that.
Well spoken, Paul.
So also another big matchup, Ole Miss and Georgia. This one in Athens, a 2:30 kickoff on ABC. And you get Kirby and you get Kiffin,
yeah.
Two of the most fun coaches to discuss in the SEC.
I was over there last year in Oxford. It was a cold, rainy day, and Ole Miss just clobbered Georgia. I mean, it was a thorough beating, and I what does that mean? I don't know. I just thought I'd point that out, that there could be a little bit of revenge on Georgia's mind. And I say that maybe with a memo to Kirby Smart. There is a first half to a football game.
No kidding.
And they just cannot play in the first half. How they came back against Auburn is remarkable. They had the same first half against Alabama and nearly pulled that one off. So I just don't know what is happening there. But, I mean, they're a great second-half team. But one of the against a team like Ole Miss, you may not be able to come back if you're not careful.
Yeah, that offense is pretty good. And I think this will be really the first road test, SEC test, for Chambliss, because he didn't start in that game against Kentucky. So this is his first road start, Paul. That could play into Georgia's favor, maybe.
Yeah, but he has been just amazing so far this yep. year. So I'm not ready to rule him out. I mean, this guy's story. We had somebody on this week who did a piece on him, and I mean, this guy, nobody wanted him. he was Kiffin had to be convinced. Charlie Weiss Jr., his offensive coordinator, said, "Look, take a look at this guy." He says, "Oh, he looks good, but he's like 5'8".
True.
But he's been one of the biggest stars in the SEC this year.
We also have another top 25 matchup in the SEC, and it's strange because Vanderbilt is one of those top 25 teams, but this isn't exactly lined up to be a sexy game between Vanderbilt and LSU in Nashville, and Vanderbilt actually favored over the Bayou Bengals there.
Yeah, tell me as not being president of the Diego Pavia fan club, I'm really getting fed up with this guy. And I thought he looked really bad 2 weeks ago against Bama. I frankly think he'll look bad against LSU. I just think that team is an enigma. Their defense is superb. Their offense cannot click, but they have really not – I mean, they're giving up about 10 points a game, which has kept them in every game but the Ole Miss game.
It's interesting, Paul. Any game we talk about, and when we specify on a team, they've all got warts. I mean, there's no superpower unless we're looking at Alabama winning all those games since the Florida State game.
And A&M's the closest to it right
Maybe
now.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have Arkansas this week.
Yeah.
Well, they are not even on the tip of your tongue when you think about one of the best teams in the SEC, but a lot of people do believe they are the best team. I still wonder about them. They have not been tested on the road yet. That starts now. And how do they navigate that is the question.
Last one I want to get to with you, Paul, kind of a split question here. After that Red River rivalry game last week, Texas finally shows up. Mateer maybe not ready to be back, but he was. Are we seeing two teams going in the opposite direction now with Texas getting ready to play Kentucky this weekend and Oklahoma against South Carolina?
Yeah, it's just I really worry about Oklahoma. I thought that was just a fatal decision to play a guy who couldn't even grip the football. Mm-hmm. And they got exposed. And I think it's important to remember Oklahoma has just not played a lot of great competition. They beat a Michigan team, which was laughable. They beat Auburn. They just haven't really played a lot. And they're about to start dabbling. And South Carolina, I mean, they've had a bad year, but they are fairly difficult at home. Nowhere else, by the way, but at home.
Yeah, yeah. And so as far as Texas too,
his arch found his fastball.
Yeah, your guy Arch.
He's the best player since somebody. I don't remember. I mean, by the way, we are only halfway through the season, and I mean, it's possible that my Arch Manning take is not the worst take of the year. How about those who sat next to me and said that James Franklin will win the national championship this
yeah.
year?
Yeah, or Dabo, you know, Franklin or
Dabo. Yeah, Dabo. Forgot about him.
Man, it's already been a wild year, and you just said it. We're about halfway through it, so plenty more football to go, and we're looking forward to our conversations with you every week. Thanks again, Paul, for coming on for Football Fridays.
Oh, listen, there's no place I'd rather be than here with the people of Alabama.
That's right.
Thanks a bunch. Well, Paul Feinbaum, Football Fridays with Dan and Dalton on FM Talk 106.5 on your Friday morning. That's the way we do it around here.
It is. Thank you to Bryant Bank for sponsoring Football Fridays with Feinbaum. Thanks to Paul again for coming on. And don't forget, get those picks in if you're in the FM Talk 106.5 College Pick'em Pool. That Spring Hill Ace Hardware Prize at the end of the year. Still plenty of time for you to catch up if you're in the back or middle of the pack. But make sure you get them in. That's the only way you can catch up is if you get those picks in. More Mobile Mornings on the way next.